Okay, Bava Basra, Perek Yud, Mishnah Vav, 10:6. This Mishnah has two parts, kind of unrelated. The first part says, what happens if a contract is getting ruined or has gotten ruined, so you need to replace the contract so it's enforceable? What do you do and how do you do it? And the second part of the Mishnah is like a new topic, back to what do you do when someone makes a partial payment, kind of what we talked about in the previous Mishnah to some degree, how you deal with partial payments on IOUs. So here, let's do part one first. It says, Misha Nimchak Shtar Chovo. A person had an IOU, Reuven lent money to Shimon, and he had a contract, but the problem is the contract is either getting worn out or fell in the water, and now it's, you know, got smudged, or it just faded in the sun. And the point is, the contract as it is really is not legible and couldn't be enforced as is. However, Reuven, of course, wants to collect on it, and he knows that there are witnesses who could confirm exactly what the contract had said, meaning they can confirm the date in which it was taken out, as well as the amounts, whatever other salient, you know, details, the lender, the borrower, and the like. So, says the Mishnah, Me'idin alav edim, he needs to get his two witnesses to testify on his behalf in front of the Bezdin. Now, the truth is, our lesson is Me'idin alav edim, witnesses testify on his behalf. The Bar Tanur and essentially all the Rishonim have a different gears of Ma'amid alav edim, he stands up his witnesses. And so there's witnesses that can confirm what the contents of the shtar had been before it got smudged or ruined or lost or bleached or whatever the story is. Uva lifne bezdin, and then the lender with his worn out document and his two witnesses go before the bezdin. Va'osn lo kiyum. And the bezdin will essentially give him a replacement contract. The word kiyum here means like a replacement contract. It's a contract which confirms the kiyum mekayem. It confirms what the original contract had said. So in other words, it'll say something like this, says the Mishnah, quote, Ish ploni ben ploni, there was a certain person, this is the lender, our Reuven, Nimchak shtaro, he had a contract, but it got rubbed away or whatever it is, illegible, and on that contract, the replacement, the kiyum contract, you will define beyom ploni, the date, not on which it was written, the kiyum, or on the date on which the shtar was wiped out or rubbed out or washed out. That's not relevant. What's relevant is the date on which the original contract was written, and that's essential. If you can't get that date exactly from the witnesses, it doesn't get off the ground. But I'll explain why in a moment. But the point is, the kiyum, the confirming contract, has to have on it listing the date of the original loan, and then the contract will say uploni, ufloni, edav, and the kiyum will say who the original witnesses were, as well, so we can, you know, the lender, if he wants to dispute the contract, can, you know, go to those, find those alleged witnesses to, you know, show they were really invalid or something like that. And that way, Reuven can collect again. So basically, he's relying on the second set of witnesses to confirm what the first contract had said. Now, that's the basic point of the first part of the Mishnah. The reason why the date is so essential, in like sort of a make or break situation, the date of the original loan, is because, and remember, when a person makes a loan, Milva Bishtar, he makes a loan with a loan IOU document, so the borrower's real assets, his karka, his land and things attached to the ground, you know, his real estate, are all mishubadim, they're all essentially lien, they're encumbered by this loan, such that if the borrower fails to repay the lender, so then if he had property at the time he took the loan, that property will stand, like it's nechas mishesh l'machrayas, that property will stand in as surety, as a guarantee for the repayment of the loan. And therefore, if in the meantime the borrower had sold that property to a third party, so now the lender can go to the third party and say, listen, I'm like, you know, the bank, I'd first lien on this mortgage on this property, I have to get repaid first. Okay, so therefore, it all matters about the date. Did the sale to the third party happen before or after the loan took place? That's all important. And therefore, the witnesses that are testifying for the kiyum have to know exactly and testify on the original date of the loan. Okay, so that's the first part of the Mishnah, there's such a thing as kiyum, and it can be done. Now, new second part of the Mishnah is like really kind of unrelated altogether. We're kind of going back to what happened in the previous Mishnah. Previous Mishnah, like I said before, the topic there was just really about a smachta. Here we're not going to talk about what you do, in fact, if you have a partial repayment. So there's basically two basic options here, right? So Reuven lent money to Shimon, the loan was for 100. Shimon comes back, gets the campaign in full, but here at least I'll give you 40. So now there's 60 still owing. So there's really two basic possibilities of what can happen next. If they want to do everything papered, you know, tightly. Either A, they could tear up that IOU that said it's 100 and write a new one. They could be machalif. They could exchange it for a new contract which says now there's an outstanding loan of 60. Okay? The downside of that is the new loan will have a new date, of the, you know, a later date, the date that it was partially repaid, and that means there's less protection for the lender because he hasn't got an encumbrance going back to the original loan anymore. That's bad news. And it's not an option to sort of predate it, because a predated ashtar mukdam, a predated contract, is totally invalid. That's a scandal. It's a totally, the rabbis wouldn't countenance such a thing. And therefore, even though in this case you could write a whole story and explain how this is a second loan to replace the first, and there was an original loan of 100 earlier, and now this is partially repaid. No. The bottom line is the rabbis are not having any contracts which talk about that are written on a given date and referring to a previous date encumbrance. They're not having that because it's just a recipe for disaster. So therefore, there's a big downside to making a replacement contract. On the other hand, so what could you do therefore is instead you could give a shovar. Shovar, or shover, is like as a receipt that would be given to the lender. And that would be given to the borrower. So the borrower would receive the receipt. The receipt would say, you repaid back to me, your lender, you know, 40 on such and such a date. So that later on, if the lender tried to enforce the full 100, the borrower could say, listen, I already paid you back 40, and here's my receipt to confirm it. That's fine. The downside of that is that now the borrower needs to be very careful to make sure he doesn't lose his receipt. Because if he does, he's on the hook for it twice. And in the time of the Mishnah, we're thinking, you know, there could be rats that are gnawing away on the contract, could get lost, moldy, and so on and so forth. That's bad news, and that sort of jeopardizes or puts at risk the borrower. So says the Mishnah inside, Misha para miktsas chovo. If someone, the borrower, pays back part of his loan to his lender, called 40 out of 100, what happens next? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yachlif. Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't force, as we'll see in a moment explicitly, you can't force the borrower to just have to get a receipt. Therefore, he's entitled to demand a new contract, which is corrected to show just the amount owing, and that, of course, weakens the claim of the lender, but so be it. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yichtov Shover. No, what should happen is we should benefit the lender, we shouldn't weaken his claims, and therefore the lender should just give a receipt to the borrower so the borrower can be protected with that receipt. Rabbi Yehuda, Sir Yehuda says, wait a second. If you write a receipt, Nimsa Zet Sarachli Yos Shomer Shovaro Minak Barim. If you write a receipt, then that puts an extra burden on the borrower. He has to make sure that his receipt doesn't get eaten by the rats or get lost or the like, and that is making him jeopardized. Amr lo Rabbi Yossi, Rios says, that's fine. Kach yafalo, that's just fine with the lender. Because what does that mean? That'll put pressure on the borrower to pay back sooner, to make sure he pays back in full and settles the score before he loses his receipt. Velo yura kocho shel zeh, and that will not, therefore we won't have to weaken the koach, the power, the ability to collect that the lender originally had. Because if you would write a new contract, then again, he can't collect on property that was sold between the date of the original loan and the new contract. That's bad news. And therefore, we says Rabbi Yossi, we want to not weaken any claim the lender has. So he basically gives a receipt and then let the borrower do what he's got to do to pay back on time or as fast as possible. And the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So the halacha is you'd give a shover, a receipt, and that's the burden is on the borrower to be a big boy.